In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hemos llegado en Semana Santa. We've arrived at Holy Week. The Passion of our Lord is begun. How can we participate in it all the more fully this week? To realize, as we spoke just a short moment ago at the entrance with palms, to live everything, to pay attention to what it goes on within this sacred time, that our Lord does all this for me. We will have the 5:30 p.m. Mass tomorrow, the 5 o'clock confessions, the 4:30 hour of adoration. But the Holy Triduum begins for us on Holy Thursday. We will gather here within the church to celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper at 7 p.m. After the conclusion of that beautiful Mass, we will retire the bells, which will only ring once again on Easter Sunday morning. And making a devout procession to the hall wherein we will have our altar of repose, we'll adore our Lord until the stroke of midnight. Just as our Lord spoke to his apostles in the reading which we had this day, said to Peter, "Could you not but watch a single hour with me? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test." He turns to you and I to say the same. "Could you not but watch with me at least a single hour?" Our love for our Lord Jesus can indeed be measured in the amount of time we spend waiting with him there in the garden this Thursday. From there, the altars here within the church will be stripped, just as our Lord is stripped. And on Good Friday, we will meet again within the church at 3 o'clock in order to pray together in devout prayer the Stations of the Cross. And concluding that 14th station, where our Lord is laid within the tomb, we will begin our Good Friday service, the service of the pre-sanctified. And there, adoring the wood of the cross on which was won the salvation of the world, making devout orison for ourselves, for our families, for the whole of the world, to find the salvation won for us on this Friday, which only 2,000 years later we're able to call good. Departing from that service in silence, we remain in silence with Our Lady, asking her to keep our courage strong. Those of us who have actually made Lent well, having died with Christ, might really rise with him. The Easter Vigil will be celebrated this year in Santa Rosa at 8 p.m. when it's all dark. Be a raging fire outside the church from which we will light the 6-foot-tall Paschal candle, carrying it into the church. Each of us having a lighted brand within our hands, the exalted, which will proclaim God's great light shed upon the world, which, after all the individual lights being extinguished in the darkness, we will pray and meditate upon all the process of salvation history, as is proclaimed for us in those beautiful 8 readings in the dark, until finally Christ arises. The light is opened, and the Gloria is proclaimed. It is at this Mass where many will receive their Easter sacraments of baptism, First Holy Communion, and confirmation. We will have our Easter Mass just as we have all the Easter Masses on Sunday, ours here at 1 p.m. Make use of the time which you have and to see that everything that our Lord does, he's done for me. A little word on the triumphal procession of Christ, we experience today as we entered into the church with palm branches. Where does our Lord begin his triumphal procession into the city of Jerusalem? He begins it at the Mount of Olives. If you've been to Israel, you know what it's like from the Mount of Olives. If you're there, you can see the whole of the city of Jerusalem. You can see its great walls, its great gates. You can see everything that's there. And so our Lord was able to see everything that day. The city stretched out all in every direction before him. And on seeing this great city, what does our Lord do? It says he weeps. From the Mount of Olives, gazing upon the city before he makes his triumphal entry, it's important to note that Jesus wept. He stood there weeping amidst the many shouts of joy as they were welcoming him into that city. This is totally unexpected. Seeing Jesus weeping there as he is riding by the fall of an ant, entering into this city of the great king. His disciples must have been at a complete loss, wondering why with such joy around does our Lord weep of sorrow. In a single moment, all their joy which they were experiencing is shadowed as they look upon his tear-stained face. Why is Jesus weeping? He's weeping because he sees how Jerusalem is still stuck in sin. They're locked away in ignorance. They are shut off from truth in their blindness. Remember what our Lord speaks as he's entering into Jerusalem before he goes there. In Luke chapter 9, verse 42, he says, "Would that even today you, Jerusalem, knew the things that would make for peace. But they are now hidden from your eyes." Our Lord's God. And so he can see all the future. It's present to him in the moment. And he can see how other days will befall Jerusalem, not the joy that they seem to be exhibiting in an exterior way here in this moment, but he sees their destruction. It's only a few years later that the city will be razed to the ground, as it was prophesied long before that not one stone will be left sitting upon another stone. And so Jesus weeps over the impenitence of Jerusalem, locked within her sin, not recognizing their visitation. So they crucify the King of Glory. How eloquent are these tears? These tears of our Lord Christ. These are tears which are full of mercy as he's there sorrowing over the city which has rejected him. Confronted with these mysteries, how can you and I fail to weep with Jesus today? Jesus, within his ministry, he has spent himself completely, used every means in order to earn their salvation through miracles, which he worked so generously, through prophetic actions, which he did in the sight of all, through his powerful words, because he himself is the Word made flesh. Sometimes he spoke severely with condemnation, and other times he was very lenient and gentle. He tried everything, absolutely everything, to reach out to every single person so they may find his love. He went out into the great cities and towns, went into the small countrysides and lowly villages. He met with simple people, but also he spoke to the learned doctors of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees. He went about in Galilee, all through Judea. He visited the distant Samaria and went beyond. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Today as well, as in every age, Jesus offers the riches of his grace to every single person who would just accept. Why does he do this? Because his will is always to save. That's what his name means. Jesus means he is salvation. Remember what our Lord spoke about in his ministry. He spoke about himself saying, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You and I are lost. Jesus sees you. Jesus looks at me today from the cross, and he seeks us out to save us. Will you let yourself be found by him today in this Semana Santa? Jesus has done all this for us. So often does he do so. Our Lord never takes a moment to himself merely to rest. He's always working out our salvation. And in so many occasions within your life, within mine, Jesus is there for us and seeking us out in little encounters. Let us know that he is real. He's there for us. How many ordinary graces has he sent your way? How many extraordinary graces have you been given within this life? He took on flesh. He worked with human hands. He fought with a human mind. He acted with a truly human will. In fact, he loved with a perfectly human heart, so often led him to weep. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and so is totally like you and I in every way human, except sin. As an innocent lamb, Jesus freely shed his blood for us, to free us from the bondage to the devil, from slavery to habitual sin. And so each of us could say, with St. Paul, as he speaks in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that the Son of Man loved me, and that he gave himself up for me. The great Saint Ignatius of Loyola says that any time that you and I are to read, to experience, to listen to the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, these mysteries of Christ's great love for us, must always exclaim within our souls and beat our breasts and allow ourselves to weep and to say, "You did this for me. You did this for me." So how could we not be moved with love, moved with tears, seeing these great acts of his love for us from he who is love itself? The story of each of us, the story of every one of us, is God's continual watchfulness over us, this continual care for us, that each of us is the object of the supreme gift of the Lord's special love for us as an individual, as though there was no one else who needed salvation. She's ready to do everything so that Jerusalem might be saved. The city was not willing to open up its great portals and gates up to his mercy. This is the deep mystery of human freedom, the mystery of human iniquity. Human freedom always maintains that sad possibility of rejecting God's grace, of saying no to his great gift. St. Jose Maria Escriva speaks about it this way. He urges you and I, saying, "Free man, subject yourself to a voluntary servitude so that Jesus won't have to say of you what he said to St. Teresa of Avila about others. Jesus said to her, 'Teresa, I was willing to save men, every man, but men were not willing to receive.'" How do we respond to the countless promptings of the Holy Spirit that he comes and visits you and I with his love each and every day? People were waving olive branches loudly. They praised the Lord, saying, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Their support was short-lived. Just 5 days later, count them, 5 days after this, those enthusiastic hosannas gave way to the shouts, "Crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas instead," just like you yourselves proclaim today. Why did they turn on the Lord so quickly? Something that befuddles us. Look in your own heart, and then you'll understand why and how. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the great mystical doctors of the church, says it this way. He says, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And then they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." How different are the cries that are now calling to him, King of the Israel. And in just a few days' time, they will be saying, "We have no king but Caesar." What contrast is there between the green branches which they wave and that dark wood of the cross to which he will be fastened? Between the flowers which they tossed before him at his entrance and the thorns which they placed upon his head? Before, they were offering their own clothes for him to walk upon as he entered, and so soon afterwards, they are stripping him of his clothes, naked, and casting their lots that they may take his clothes for themselves. Jesus asks us today for two things: loyalty and perseverance. That's it. Loyalty and perseverance is what our Lord desires of us. He calls us to deepen our faithfulness and to be so much more firm in our resolutions to cast away sin, so that it can be more than something which is just a flash in the pan that sparkles for a moment and then quickly fades away as though it were never there to begin with. Our hearts so often are wavering, one way this way, one day the other. We're so easily moved from hot and cold, for we are capable of doing so many great things within our lives. Sadly, in the next few moments, we're capable of some of the worst. If we want to possess eternal life and to triumph with Christ, then what we have to attain to is a constancy that through penance we deaden anything within us that keeps us from embracing God, from all that prevents us from following our Lord all the way up to Calvary, to the wood of the cross. That's why we began our liturgy today with the first words spoken from the altar, from the psalm that says, "Swing back, you doors, higher yet reach, reach higher, O immortal gates. Let him enter in triumph, he who is the King of glory." The message is this, is that anyone who barricades him or herself in the fortress of his own selfishness will never be able to march into victory with Jesus Christ, for they will not let him in. But yet if we raise up the gates of our fortresses higher and higher and let in Jesus, who is the King of peace, then we will be able to go out of that fortress with the King to fight. Then we will be victorious against all the misery that seeks to blur our eyes from truly seeing the reality of sin and the great immensity, the ardor of Jesus' love for us, which is to set us free from all that numbs our consciousness so that we can truly be those who believe in his love for us, his love for me. Do we have to do this all on our own strength today? To open our hearts to Jesus in this moment, must it be done by our own power? The answer is no and never. Because also in the very heart of Jerusalem this day is the heart of our Mother Mary. She wants to be close to her son too. She wants to wait in your heart and in mine as well. This will be the last Jewish Passover that has any effect, but it will also be the very first Mass, the place where Jesus is both priest and victim and works out the salvation of the world here and gives it to us as a memorial offering, which we have even to this day. If you want to have a really good Holy Week, a truly great Semana Santa, stay close with her, Mother Mary. For also her sons and daughters, as he gave her to us at the foot of the cross. Our Lady, if we remain with her at the foot of the cross, she will teach us how to remain constant in faith amidst the trials of these dark days. She'll teach us how to not give up to sin and temptation and all the things that so easily harm us. She'll teach us how to grow daily in real and lasting constant love for Jesus and receive that love which he so generously gives. If we invite her, our Mother Mary, to be with us during this day, that she will always remain close to our side, showing us how to contemplate his passion, his death, and his resurrection to derive all those graces that he wishes to pour out upon us. And you and I will not find a more privileged place in the entirety of the universe than to be there alongside with Our Lady at the foot of the cross. So with Mary, then, we'll go forward here within this Passion Week of the Lord and ask Mary to keep you faithful to Jesus during this Semana Santa. She'll help you to remain constant with Jesus so that you won't look away from him and his sufferings. She'll give you the strength to persevere in faith to see what he does to work out your salvation. She will show you how Jesus has done all of this for you. He did this for me. And in this, we'll truly be able to gain from the passion of our Lord a transforming share in his Easter glory which is to come. Always with Jesus, always with Mary, here in the Semana Santa. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.